Hey guys, and welcome to BHL's Sports Weekly, your weekly source for news and events in sports. Today we're debating which average NFL quarterback you'd rather have on your starting team, or starting for your team rather. And we're also delving into some sports-related social issues, including the huge scandal at Baylor and also the N-word scandal at a very exclusive school in Brentwood, California. All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
For no bitch that fucking with your dog, that's law. You come up, don't forget about your dog, that's law.
That's law.
I'm a street nigga, so it's
Hey, who said that?
You broke nigga, that should be
against
the law.
Hey,
for no bitch that fucking with your dog,
it's gonna be our last show without
you. Come on, don't forget about your dog,
that's law. Now we talking about.
I'm a street nigga, so it's fuck
the law.
Sports Weekly coming
that
in
hard,
to y'all.
That
song, the song does go really hard, and forgive the use of the N word. I didn't choose the song; they chose the song. I did not choose the song.
I chose it.
You chose it.
I didn't know it was the X Ready.
It's awful, awful. Sports Weekly every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I'm here with Renee Davis. And that is the law. You must be here every Thursday night at 7. Eric and AD, Twitter, Snapchat, Periscope, Instagram, follow.
Yes, sir. Yours truly, Mr. Andre. Then you know what it is, man. I am Andre on Twitter and on Instagram and everything else. Just search Andre Dean. I'll be there.
You just Google him.
Just Google him.
What up? I'm Joshua Johnson. Find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
And no Raina today. She's working hard. She's working somewhere. So we're going to pour some out for Raina later on. Make sure you follow all things Black Hollywood Live at blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. And also follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. Make sure you keep up with all. Have we posted it?
I was going to say, have we posted anything?
I don't think we posted it. Because he's in charge of the Instagram.
It's been a minute. It's been tough. But I got some today. I got some exclusive for y'all.
Do you? Okay. Right. Well, we shall see about that. It's interesting that we opened up to the Law song by Yo Gotti because it has a lot of N-bombs in it, but we're going to get to that a little bit later, so y'all just keep that. Make a mental note.
There was a reason for that.
Make a mental note. We're trying to do some foreshadowing here. But Dre, go ahead.
Speaking of Law, what is up with Sanchez?
What does this have to do with the Law?
Speaking of Law, he's trying to squeeze a segue out of that thing. Somebody take him to jail. I don't know what. We're talking about Mark Sanchez and Sam Bradford, speaking of Law. All right. And two subpar quarterbacks, yes. I'd say, who has never really tapped into their potential, I would say. Yeah. Lately in the news, Mark Sanchez, torn ligament in his hand. Now, this is crazy because Mark Sanchez just has even. I mean, I don't even know if he's made it through a full season yet since he's been in the NFL.
Yeah, he has, actually.
I mean,
he's made it to
Mark. I was being sarcastic, but what I'm just trying to.
Excuse me. Okay. Let me shut up.
What I'm trying to say is there's always something with this brother right now. And going into a new team, the Broncos, which is a really great position for him, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not a whole lot of competition there. And, you know,
he's. And they can win with just defense. We don't even need him.
They got a phenomenal defense. So, on the flip side, Sam Bradford, Eagles, as we know. So, right before he just signed another contract, but what they did was, right before he signed that contract, he actually went up to the coaches and was like, hey, you know, I want to be traded. You know, I don't want to be here. I don't think I should be here anymore. Now, as a quarterback, as a leader, doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? So we're just going to chop it up a little bit about these two. What do you think, man? Mark Sanchez and Sam Bradford.
Well, first of all, I think that I feel so sorry for Josh over there, like on a lonely island by yourself.
Sorry, I'm good. I'm cool.
Sorry, brother.
I'm a solitary man. I like being by myself.
Milk Dud stand alone.
but before you say something like, but bruh, this story, is this a slow news week? Why are we talking about these two, like, below mediocre quarterbacks?
The reason why we're talking about these two below mediocre quarterbacks, because they're both in very good positions to do great things for their team. I mean, the Broncos don't have a quarterback at all, right? They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Eagles really don't have a quarterback with him. And they just drafted one of the top quarterbacks,
Carson Wentz,
supposedly, you know, to be in the draft. So it's definitely news because now you have, I guess you can say he's a vet, you know what I mean? He's been in the league for, what, five seasons, you know, so you can say he's a vet from Sam Bradford's standpoint. And, of course, Sanchez has been in the league for, what?
Six
seasons?
1 year longer.
Seven seasons.
Bradford has six. I know that he's 1 year longer than
Yeah, you're right.
2009.
Sanchez came into the league in 2009. Yeah.
And then Bradford
2010.
Seven and six.
But still, I mean, so, and the similarities keep going from there. They both have been average quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
To put it nicely.
I mean, really, because now, to your point, though, you said that, you know, has Sanchez even finished a whole season? Sam Bradford, has he finished a whole season? That's the question.
Absolutely. Injury.
Sam Bradford is like the best of the bust because, I mean, mm-hmm. this guy hasn't played, but he got paid big money to do absolutely nothing but repair and heal his body.
Yep.
Then comes back, still doesn't really do anything. So what my question, though, is why do they sign him two years, $24 million?
$40 million, up to $40 million for a two-year contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then they go out and get Carson Wentz. At number two. So I guess do they plan on having Sam Bradford maybe mentor Carson Wentz? Because he's clearly going to be the guy starting the game.
We both pushed back from the table.
I think it's not mentoring. I think it's competition is what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're Sam Bradford.
We know they're going to give the ball to Sam to Carson Wentz when the season starts.
I wouldn't say.
Are you really?
I disagree with that.
Okay. I don't see Sam Bradford starting this for this team.
Nothing. They've actually came out and said Sam Bradford is the starting quarterback.
They're going to take that back really quick when training.
But that's the thing, but that's the whole point. That's the reason why I wanted to talk about this with you guys too, because that's competition. And what they're saying is Sam Bradford was really shying away from the competition. When he saw that Wentz was drafted, that's when him and his agent went up and said, look, we want to be traded. So it makes him look like he's shying away from the competition.
And who shies away from competition when did Wentz go to North Dakota State? He went to some like lower level school. So why are you freaking out about a rookie quarterback? I mean, even though he went in the first round, like you always are going to have competition.
But you've been in the league for six years.
Yeah.
And wasn't Sam Bradford number one?
He was a number one overall pick in 2010. Yeah.
Why is he tripping?
My issue, well, he's tripping because he has not produced. Now, his biggest accomplishment is, I think his rookie season, he had the rookie record for most consecutive passes without an interception. I think it was 169. Besides that, he hasn't really done anything else since Oklahoma. So he knows that his time with the Eagles is going to be really short because if it was going to be long, they would have signed him to more than a two-year contract.
Absolutely.
So I think he's
putting it overstated. I think so too.
I think it was pushing it. Okay.
And he
must have some secret connection with the Illuminati because they're just throwing him money every contract.
Well, I mean, but you got to have a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything. And so really, when you look out there, not only in the field of quarterbacks presently, but even people come out of college, like who is there really coming out of college that you can depend on to be a starting quarterback? So it's kind of like you like the devil that you already know. And he's the devil and they know him. So they had to pay him to keep him.
What about Sanchez, though, man? This guy, I mean, 86 touchdowns and 84 interceptions. 86 touchdowns and 84 interceptions in his career. What do y'all think?
But yet he's the starting quarterback, defending world champion.
Like, what do y'all think about that? What do you think that the Denver Broncos see in him to do it? Or do you think it's just a last resort type of thing? This is one of the only quarterbacks that's openness in the market that has that experience. Because I think in the NFL, the biggest thing is that experience, being out there seeing that game at that game speed.
Well, one year of playoff experience is the most we can give.
Mark Sanchez, 2009 and 2010.
So
his first and his second year, he took the Jets to two consecutive AFC championships. So that's what Denver sees in him. They see an opportunity to get the old Mark Sanchez. Sanchez. I mean, because again, when you look at the field of NFL quarterbacks, I mean, people who
they don't have anybody else.
There's no one else.
And
I'm going to subscribe to the Colin Cowherd theory. He always says that quarterbacks who are better looking get better opportunities.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, USC pumps them out every year, but like they're just not good in the NFL. Though.
They're not. I agree with that. But again, who else? Like, I'm seriously asking you guys, who else could the Broncos go after? Like,
right now, they
lost Osweiler.
That's the thing.
I say bring back Tim Tebow. I say it every time. Bring back Tim Tebow.
True.
Guy didn't get a fair deal.
Absolutely not. You do not bring back Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow should be doing what we're doing at AfterBuzz or Black Hollywood Live.
I don't think he wants to do this, bro.
Supporting and talking about sports. That's what he should be doing. All right, so the biggest question, if you were a coach, and you had to choose one of these guys to head your franchise at this point in their careers...
Josh, you look so lonely.
Stop
over there.
Stop being so mean, Mr. Lonely even. Man. Who would you pick?
Why would you ask this
listen,
question?
Who would you pick? Are you going with Sanchez?
We're going to go out 29, with 10 men on the field.
Listen.
We
Sanchez. Hold on. Sanchez, 29 years old, 86 touchdowns, 84 interceptions, 15,000 career yards passing, 7 seasons. Versus Bradford. Career. Bradford, 78 touchdowns, 52 interceptions, 14,700 yards total in 5 seasons. He's 28, a little bit younger than Sanchez.
Not like
little
a lick,
bit.
A tick.
Little yeah, bit. Yeah. Who are you going for? Look, tell me, who you got?
By
right
the
now?
Numbers, by the numbers, I think Sam Bradford has an edge with completions for amount of passes. He got a higher percentage completion, even though Sanchez has one more year on him. But what I'm going to say, to give you an answer, my answer is hike it straight to the halfback and have no quarterback
really?
On the team. Because these two guys are straight boo-boo.
Wow.
Straight boo-boo.
Boo-boo.
Okay, I'm going to make a really bold prediction. I think Mark Sanchez is going to surprise everybody this year and have a stellar standout year that reminds us of Mark Sanchez from 2009 and 2010. I really do believe that. And so to answer your question, I'm going to go with Mark Sanchez all day. Sam Bradford has been perpetually hurt. And even his teammates, who used to be teammates, are calling him out on national television, national radio station, saying he's not a good teammate. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone really say anything disparaging about Mark Sanchez as far as being a bad locker room guy. Sam Bradford's getting the reputation of being a bad locker room guy. And you suck, and you're always injured. Mark Sanchez, it's our year, baby. It's our year.
Okay, all right.
It's our year.
Well, hope it is. Well, I'm agree with you. I'm actually going Mark Sanchez.
Mark
as well.
Sanchez, okay.
I think that the NFL is all about finding that right system because all of these guys are great athletes. These are great players. You can't take anything away from where they are and what they've done to get to where they are. So they're all great players.
Okay.
But and I really, really do believe that I think Bradford's done just because his injuries. I think he hasn't experienced the game enough out there on the football field.
Right.
And these new quarterbacks, they're steady getting drafted, they're steady coming. And, I mean, your experience is not too far from those guys because you just can't stay on the football
field.
Yep. So
that.
I'm going to go with Mark Sanchez, and I'm going to agree with Erica. I think this is a great thing for him. It's no pressure on him. He's going into a situation where they're like, look, our defense is amazing.
He couldn't have any better.
It really couldn't be a better situation for him. And what other quarterback is going to challenge him.
And he's got some good receivers to throw to, and a great defense.
Absolutely. So I think
if he messes
Mark Sanchez
this up,
could turn some head. Right. Then we can say, you know what? This is just you've been You've been given a golden spoon, and you know it's going to be interesting to see what he does with it. So.
Do the Broncos have a backup? I know they have a backup, but who is it?
I think they just picked up. They just picked up or drafted a guy from a smaller school.
Okay, just
from
this year.
School.
Nobody.
This year, from this year. So it's pretty much an open. I mean, it's all open. It's all in the air for Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez.
Hopefully, he gets back out there with this torn ligament, and it is on his left hand. It's not his right hand. It's
he can still play.
He can still play. Right. So
yeah,
we'll
and
see.
It's what May.
Right. You got plenty of time. Plenty of time. So.
All right. Speaking of plenty of time, Baylor administrators and officials don't have too much more time before they have to
another strain segue.
I was trying to see,
you know,
but she did it.
Well, see, I was doing it, and see, the person over here sitting by himself is being a hater because he's by himself. But whatever.
I'm cool by myself. I would rather be by myself.
Good.
Oh,
we're gonna leave you out of this discussion.
Okay.
Baylor administrators are in hot water again for covering up alleged incidents of sexual misconduct. Not only sexual misconduct, but also physical abuse that the football players allegedly, put on their girlfriends or their ex-girlfriends now. And the Waco police actually have been accused of being in cahoots with the Baylor administrators for helping cover this up. Now, y'all, I mean, there is like a wealth of information. I'm just going to give y'all some quick facts. So ESPN Outside the Lines report revealed this week that there are new cases of violence involving Baylor football players again. Coaches and some Baylor officials allegedly worked together to either not report the incidents to the police, or once they were reported, they didn't proceed with any kind of court hearings or anything. Art Briles is the head coach at Baylor. He's been there since 2008. for the past 3 years he's gone 32-7. So he's kind of like not only the head honcho, but the savior of that Baylor football program, because before he got there, they had 13 consecutive losing seasons. One particular allegation, a woman said that she was assaulted 2 times by her boyfriend, a Baylor football player, and that she reported it to the team chaplain and to the coach and to the Waco police, and that the case was brought to the coach and to president of the university, Ken Starr, who ironically was the independent investigator and the Monica Lewinsky, mm-hmm. Bill Clinton sex scandal.
He didn't try to cover that up, though. He tried to put it out there.
Well, he helped. Listen, I guess
what goes around comes around.
There's bigger money in college football than there is in politics, and especially when it comes to Texas football. Real
talk. Look, so, but the chaplain didn't say anything.
So the chaplain didn't say anything.
A man of the cloth.
And then here's one more major allegation that ESPN Outside the Lines report revealed, that it took Baylor 2+ years to investigate a sexual assault report against Trayvon Armstead and Shay Michael Chapman. So normally, if a woman says she was sexually assaulted, they would act on it immediately. It took them 2 years, the administrators and the Waco police, to actually bring this case to light. So now the shit has hit the fan, pardon my French, and you have the president, I mean, I'm sorry, you have the administrator saying there's no cover-up. Oh, I'm sorry, not the administrators, the athletic director saying there's no cover-up. You know, I didn't know anything was going on. And so I want to know from you guys, what's my first question? Let me look. My first question is, should Baylor start trying to clean the house? With all that we are finding out in just this week, even though right now everything is alleged, we don't know any hardcore facts. We're just going off of ESPN Outside the Lines reports. But based on what we know, do you think that Baylor should start cleaning house, starting with the head coach?
Absolutely not.
I wasn't expecting that.
Absolutely not. What this program has done on the football field is going to outweigh all this other foolishness, bottom line.
And foolishness, when it's alleged,
everything. Man, but we talk about women who are reporting, assault.
It's alleged. It's alleged. This kind of stuff happens all the time. People come out and say, this or that.
But
nobody
knows. You have to give it some kind of credence.
You have to give it a thorough investigation as quick as possible. What I'm saying is, as far as the football field goes, what's already been done is already been done. It's not going to do any good to go in and clean house and mess up your program.
I'm not saying take away their records. Now you have to rebuild it from ground.
No, now you have to rebuild it from ground up. What I'm saying is they should absolutely look into it and do what
they've
they
been looking
do.
Into it. But they taking 2 years to look into it, though.
Well, I mean, if it's taking 2 years, it's taking 2 years.
No, it shouldn't take that. A sexual assault allegation should not take 2 years to investigate. Get to the point in 2 weeks.
But you got to understand, it's at the end of the day, it's he say versus she say.
But you got to hash it out through the legal system.
The fact that they're still working on it, and they've been working on it for years or for a long time, says they're trying to come to cahoots to figure out what's really going on.
But don't you think there's a culture now in this program, a culture of hiding things and allegations being
alleged. We don't know happened or what didn't happen or what.
Now, oftentimes I play devil's advocate and I get, a lot of slack on social media for kind of siding sometimes against women. But I do want to say this, in the particular incident where the woman said that her boyfriend assaulted her twice and she took it to the chaplain and then she took it to the president and she took it to the head coach. Sometimes you have intuition that lets you know that somebody's not lying. And so this particular case never went to court. And she said to ESPN, the reason that it didn't is because no one cares about anything except for about football. So it's not like this girl, she's not trying to sue. She's not trying to ruin anyone's reputation. So for those reasons alone, I actually believe that particular girl. I believe.
And she's not the only one.
And she's not the only one.
Well, you can say all.
I believe her.
You can say whatever you want to say about actually believing or what all that stuff, but the facts are the facts. And when the facts come out and the fact that nobody was there, nobody seen that, and this stuff is coming out when these players are gone or when they've graduated, it just doesn't make it credible to me.
But Dre, they're hiding the question at hand is, they're hiding the facts, or they're they're drawing it out so it doesn't get resolved.
But that's a question, and that's the issue at hand.
Okay, so Josh, let me ask you. Do you think that Art Briles, the head coach who has turned this program around tremendously, has taken them from being the laughing stock of the Big 12 to being the birthplace of Robert Griffin's career, mm-hmm. do you think that they should go in, fire him, fire Ken Starr, and clean house with other officials?
I'm not saying anyone should get fired or clean house this month. I think, top of my head, they should maybe get some kind of independent investigation going into the program to figure out what's what. But to just go in and fire people without really that's not going to solve anything unless you really find out what happened first. Find that's out what happened with each of these cases, and then make your decision.
We did jump on you.
But that's all I said. I just said I don't think that you should take these coaches' jobs away from them when everything is alleged. When you start getting some facts and some stuff is coming out, then maybe you go and say, okay, you were here when this happened, et cetera. And then maybe you start getting some people out of there. But you can't take away what that coaching staff has done for the football team and where that program has gone in the last 4 or 5 years.
Again, I would normally agree with that because you do need to weigh on hardcore facts. But Baylor has a history and a culture of covering up, and I think although this would be counterproductive to their success on the football field, I think that they should go in there and fire Briles and
just
Ken
to
Stark,
make a statement.
To make a statement to say, look, we will not tolerate cover ups. I mean, so let's say that these women were making up lies. Let's say that they really were not assaulted. Well, why did the Waco police and why did the administrators not go forth with the court proceedings so that the men who were being accused had an opportunity to prove their innocence in a proper time frame? Like they didn't even give the law its due process. So because of those things, I think they should fire the head coach and they should fire Ken Stark.
Jim Bob, deputy sheriff down there, is probably getting some booster seats to the game.
He is.
He's not going to mess up his good.
Waco Police Sergeant Patrick Swanton. Name?
Being from Texas and I've been to Waco several times. One of the big reasons that this has happened is exactly what you said. I mean, there's nothing in Waco. Nothing in Waco but Baylor. There is nothing in Waco. Waco is a small town. You can drive straight through Waco in about 15 minutes. Straight through.
No stop.
That's how small Waco is. So, of course, you know what I mean? That's all that they have. That's all that that town really stands for right now is Baylor and Baylor football.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and everybody's on cloud nine. I mean, who would have thought that TCU, go Horned Frogs, and Baylor will be fighting for the Big 12 championship almost every single year? That's been the case for the last 2 years.
Well, let me ask you, because you're a Texas product, prodigy, a football player. Did you ever experience anything like this personally? Not saying that you ever sexually assaulted anybody, of course, but I'm saying, did you have friends or teammates or players who were accused and who personally got away with stuff?
I can't speak on anybody else, but what I can say, growing up in a football city, in a football town where football was everything that matters, there was things that I did and some of my other friends and teammates did that we did get out of, that we did get away with because of football, and I can honestly say that, but that's just what it is. That's the nature of the game, and that's never going to change. That's never, ever, ever going to change completely to a point where you don't get those breaks. When you do put in that work and you do put yourself on that pedestal, whether it's a high school level, whether it's a college level, or it's a professional level, you're going to always get more breaks than the average Joe. That's just
okay,
life.
Right. But do we as a society say at some point, okay, sports cannot trump, due process of the law. So your sports personality or status cannot trump investigating serious allegations to the fullest and in a timely manner. When do we say that?
I think you say that when the revenue that the programs are bringing in
decreases
and it does not have the financial effect.
That sounds like one of the only ways to do it to me.
Yeah.
Hit that money.
But that's the same thing with law and government. Mm-hmm. There's things that the law and that the government are covering up and trying to do to make money and to save money and to maintain control of certain things. Yeah. You know what I mean? To an extent, that's just what it is. When you're in position and to have power, to have say so, to make a difference, unfortunately, I mean, I'm not saying I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's just the way this world is set up. And until it changes with the president, it's not going to change. It's not going to change. That's the highest level.
Erica, you say clean house. Don't even investigate. Just get them out of there. Start up with a new program.
I say clean house at Baylor, and not because, again, I would normally not say that, but because they have this sordid culture. Like, this is not the first time or the second or the third time. They had a huge scandal back in 2003. Was it a basketball team scandal? Somebody got killed or something? They have a huge bad reputation for putting sports above and beyond everything else. They have no moral compass when it comes to sports. Like they make sure they make their money. Okay, my other question is, what can colleges with big sports programs do to promote accountability and lessen the occurrence of these cover-ups?
We just said
when the money goes down, when the money...
Accountability. Accounting. count that money down.
That's just what it comes down to. I mean, when these are $1 trillion.
And that's the reason why they cover up, because they don't want that to get out there. They don't want their reputation tarnished. They don't want the recruits to not come. They don't want the boosters and funders to be affected.
Yeah.
So they're going to cover up because money is at play.
It's like a domino effect. Once something bad happens, it just kind of trickles down. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I think it would be a great statement for Baylor, again, to clean house. And then, of course, you know, the culture would, again, revive itself. But at least for a few years, they could have a squeaky clean reputation, because it would be better to clean house now than to get some sanctions later and then lose eligibility and then lose post-game season play opportunities. But
speaking of opportunities.
Whatever. and that's our show for the night. Oh, that is it.
God, speaking of opportunities.
That's low. Whatever.
Oh, he did that.
I had to.
He didn't do it.
He got us. No, but look. Barry Bonds, his daughter goes to a prestigious school here in LA, the Brentwood School. $40,000 a year.
Oof.
$40,000 a year. So some students post a video online, which we are going to play now, of some of the students at Brentwood during a party off campus.
You have to play it from the beginning.
I never even heard this song, actually. This video got a ton of thumbs down. Diversity. 3 of 120 kids in the 10th grade are black. We wouldn't have a chance.
Was that Nick Jonas? Was that Nick Jonas?
This is how lies get started.
Oh my goodness.
So this video was posted by some students that go to this school. Barry Bonds sees the video, posts a tweet, and says, "I can't believe my daughter goes to this school." Why are you laughing at Uncle Barry? No, but doesn't he just look perturbed? I'm very perturbed at this.
Pissed off.
I'm very upset with this. No, so he... He posted a tweet, and his wife posted something on, I think, a site related to the school as well, that says they're very upset that this video was that this action took place off campus, that this was done, and he suggested that the school suspend suspend some of the students because of this, because the white students were off campus singing ASAP Ferg and not editing the N-word.
ASAP Ferg, man, shout out to you, man. You about to get mad publicity right now for this song, man. Everybody going to iTunes right now to get that joint, because it's the only thing that's on the show right now.
So now we've got a petition out there that calling for some suspension to the school and having the school to handle it. So what do you guys think?
Okay. We're laughing.
So my question really was, Barry Bonds is calling for some suspensions because of this.
Right.
Is that warranted?
I'm going to say no. And listen, my parents are old. Like, my parents were really old when they had me. So my parents grew up in segregated schools. So I've always had, like, a certain reverence for the N-word. I think you and I have had this conversation. Mm-hmm. I've always had a certain reverence for the N-word.
Well.
Because, like, my parents were being called nigger.
For real.
They were being called nigger.
And it wasn't no songs.
And it wasn't like, nigger drinking that water.
Right, for real.
So because of that, I've always, like, I don't say the N-word, not even when I, you know, not even in songs.
And you understand the gravity of it.
Because I understand the gravity,
yeah, the
history.
Gravity of the history of it.
Right. But speaking out of both sides of my neck, kids these days are born in 2004. They have no, like, respect or no idea about the origins of the word. And so they only know it as a colloquialism. They only know it as a slang. They don't know it to mean that you had to sit on the back of the bus.
But is that good or bad, though? Is that good or bad? Because, look, because does that mean we should be teaching them, that we should be educating them about the gravity of that word, the weight of that word, and the history of that word? Or should we just let it go and be like, yo, the more we say it, the less effect it'll have, kind of thing?
I mean you try to do that to an extent, but you don't want to bring up old, you know what I mean? Like, you got to teach them where the roots, where it came from, etc., why things have changed, why things are the way that they are, right? So history won't repeat itself and all that crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you got to introduce them to it. But I don't think it should be something that kids should beat over that teachers or that professor should beat over these kids' head. These are, like you said, these are young 16, 15, 17 year old kids whose parents may have not even been around when that stuff happened. Yeah. You know what I mean?
See,
you
I don't know, so it's not it's, about, it's, go ahead, finish.
I mean, no, the only thing I'm saying is, I mean, it is in curriculum. We all learned about that
say,
at some point.
Yeah, these kids do
in
know.
In high school, right.
These kids have Google, everything's at, information is at their fingertips.
But you can't blame
they
a kid
know.
For being a kid. And we're walking around saying it all day, every day, in songs. ASAP Fergie saying it in his song, and he's an
there you go.
Thank
you.
Man.
That's my point. We can't just blame it on not educating the kids.
Yeah.
It has to be the fact that, look, it's all over our culture and in all of our songs.
It is.
So how can we be upset about it? Because it's everywhere anyway.
It is. And, I mean, and for decades, white suburban kids have been the ones buying all of the hip-hop
that's what it sells
music. Like, that's like, that's because let me tell you.
They call each other that word.
Right.
Some of them do.
Well,
yeah.
Not a lot, but not, some of them.
I grew up in white schools, private school. They
I
call
never
each other
heard no Caucasian kid calling
no?
up. Go to a Caucasian kid, be like, what's up, my ninja?
I've heard it.
Unless they were like, unless they were trying to, you know.
Because they want to be cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we want, yes.
Our engineer says he has too.
Okay. I don't know. It's so tough because even when I hear white kids, I can say this. When I hear Latino say it, I don't really get as offended.
I get offended.
That's a double standard.
What about Samoans and Armenians?
They do it. I really do.
I
don't say nothing, but I get offended. They're bigger than me. What am I going to do? They're bigger than me.
Armenians, you're so stupid. Some of them might be your same size.
Well, the Samoans and Tongans, I don't know.
But they all say it. I've heard them. And they say it
because it's because they. I think that some of them they might say it because they have that kind of. Us against them. We're the minority, so we're
true.
Able to say it. You know, we're not mainstream. We're not white, so we can relate to you in that regard. We can relate to black people by being the minority and kind of being the underhanded in society.
Or it's kind of just like saying, "What's up, my dude?" Like, I think the N-word is getting to the point where it's almost as easy and as brainless as just saying the word "dude" or "What's up, homie?" What's up, homie? I think that like we are getting to the point where it's. For kids, for people who don't know the history, like, it doesn't have that same connotation to them.
But it's in our programming, though. It's in our media programming.
Yeah,
right?
but like, okay, so let's say you're going to your, you know, your AP history class and you're 13 years old, which means you were born in 2003. You can read, like, I can read about Columbus, you know, all day. I can read about the Mayans all day. I can read all this stuff. But if I can't really relate to it. So these kids are reading something in a book.
And their parents didn't see it.
And their parents didn't see it. So they can't even, they don't have an emotional connection to what N-I-G-G-E-R means.
See, they're parents,
all they know is Jay-Z says it, ASAP says it, Kendrick Lamar says it, you know.
All the songs that
Drake,
they like. And
Drake
they hear.
Says it, and he's half Jewish,
why,
you know.
Why don't their parents know, though? Why, are you saying their parents are too young?
I mean, I don't blame them.
I don't think they're too young. You can't, I think the thing is, okay, so even if history... It's history. It's what happened in the past. You got to realize, like, the history for today is not the same history that it was for our parents.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, how far do you continue to go back? Because every day, new stuff is happening. Now, history is that we've had an African-American president.
Yeah.
This has been the first African-American.
And then you have Larry Wilmore saying, you know, good Barry, my nigga. Like, you know, so you like you even have somebody calling the president my nigga on a national stage. So
right.
Like,
so, and that's why I'm saying, how can you go out and police these kids who are off campus doing this?
You can't.
They weren't on campus. It wasn't a campus-sanctioned school. Sanctioned party. They weren't even wearing school uniforms. So, I mean, what can you do about policing someone away from home? You really can't.
You can't suspend them. You can't suspend them, kids.
You don't even know. So, you're going to go to the who's all at the party? Come step forward so we can suspend you. No, Barry Bonds, sit down, man.
I mean, at first, a part of me was like, well, maybe because the school can come out and say, well, because we don't want our reputation tarnished, we're going to go ahead and
go to
the rigmarole and say, well, we'll suspend these kids because, you know, it's a prestigious school, so they don't want that attached to their name. But when it comes down to it, if they're saying at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, then why can't they say it at the house of the parents who fund the White House Correspondents' Dinner anyway?
Mm. And what does that have to do with school? The fact he's made, oh, my kids are going to this school, it's a school party. What these kids do on their outside time is what, just like, it's on their outside, their parents let them go to that party. They probably dropped him off and picked him up, or they drove and did what they had to do.
Or Uber.
So if you don't want that to happen,
I think they were on a yacht, actually. Yeah, they were on a yacht.
Probably. You know what I mean? If you don't want that to happen, then you shelter your daughter and you don't let her go to any parties and you teach her these history books and you tell her to never say the word and see how miserable her life is going to be.
I was going to say, let's check his daughter's Snapchat. She might have a word or two on that.
I don't know.
Because she's the same grade level. She probably is friends with those kids. I'm sure she listens to music with
that. I would like to hear what she thinks about this.
And do you guys ever feel guilty? You say the N-word because, you know, sometimes.
I ain't never said that.
Okay, whatever.
Don't put him out.
No. So let's say you don't say the N-word. But you buy the Kanye's, the ASAPs, the Drake's, all these singers and rappers. Like, I know I feel conflicted about it. Like, I'll be like, I don't say the N-word. My parents are old. But then I will definitely download a freaking rap
album
in a second.
What about listening to in your car, sing along to it? Do you sing the N-word?
I do not sing the N-word.
So you would be singing and then you pause and then you keep going?
I'll be like, and then I keep on going. I swear to you.
For real?
I do the same thing.
What's up? Okay.
Oh.
I say it louder when I'm by myself.
Are you serious?
Only when I'm by myself.
If it's still on my Snapchat, you can go and see that there was a song that had the N-word in it and I don't think I said it.
No, I don't believe that.
I think it's too late. I think it's
you guys out there, tell us what y'all think. I really wanted to know in the comment sections of this episode and on Twitter. I really do want to know what people out there think of all races. Of, you know, as you can see, we're pretty open. We had a very open, honest discussion about it. I mean, I don't think any of us feel super strongly either way. We just all think the kids should. Well, I don't think they should be suspended.
No
suspension.
You can't, because then you have to go and you can spend them. What are you going to spend them for? Everything else that they do off campus that's unsavory.
Right.
Let them go to school.
Turn up.
Do we ban the word completely?
That looked like a live party, to be honest.
It would look crunk.
Especially for high school.
I was turning it up, boy. Okay, so we don't ban the word.
Invite that.
All right, well.
Well.
Speaking of the N-word. My mom was gonna kill me. Guys, that's our show. Y'all have anything else to say?
OMG.
You in words be cool.
All right. What's up, my Negro? Ninja. Negro.
Oh, man.
Negro.
That's dumb. Nobody's saying that.
I say Negro.
Have you ever went to somebody and said, what's up, my Negro?
No, but I'll say Negro, please. Or Negro, get
out of here. Yeah, right.
Negro, please.
Negro.
You said Negro, please.
No, I've never
you
said never that.
Well, because you say.
Louder when I'm by myself. Just like I sing when I'm in the shower. Like, I'm the ish when I'm in the shower.
Every Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
Close the show.
What are we talking
Negro.
About? Negroes and N-words and ninjas and wiggers
and
sports sometimes, too. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram. Not saying the N-word.
I am Andre. Then you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at I am Andre. What it is.
Saying the N-word.
You Negroes can find me on social media at JJ the Talent. That wasn't cool, man. That's a terrible word. Negroes, let's just get rid of it all.
There's nothing wrong. Negroes is okay. BlackHollywoodLive.com. Follow all things BlackHollywoodLive.com.
Real talk. Would that video have been better if it wouldn't have been a discussion if they were all singing?
All black kids.
Negro.
Well, no, they're black kids.
If they're black kids, it wouldn't have been.
Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. We're going to post
40K a year for that school? Negro, please.
Until next time. Bye, guys.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.